This holiday season, give yourself the gift of a fresh start with a personal loan at Fidelity. You could win refreshing prizes like a luxurious spa day, John Bolt gift certificates, a cruise for two, and more. Make that move to a fresh start today. Call 356-7764. Promotion ends December 19th.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 17th of December, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And I have to say, producer, when I get old, I'm going to tell the children that that's our national anthem. I'm going to tell them that that's our national anthem. What a sweet, sweet song. And I remember it. I remember it growing up. That's always a sign. Like they say, when you hear Mariah Carey, Christmas season is open. When you hear that song, you must know that it is Christmas time. Joining me on the clock this morning, we have a studio full of guests. It's going to be an interesting conversation. As a little bit of housekeeping before we get there, let me remind you of the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, open to junior and high school students across the archipelago. To win the prize, two pieces of information: the government recording record of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. The government recording record of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will and the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. You call the show, let the producer know you want to play the game. We'll play the game. Also, T-shirt and magazine recycle drive is still ongoing. I'd like to say thank you to all the people who have already donated to this recycling project. As I take a look at the papers, I see this headline, 5 in hospital after prison bus crash. We don't have time to get into it entirely this morning, but after yesterday's conversation, you know that I'm attuned to this story. We're going to touch on it in today's conversation briefly. I hope you appreciate the connections that will be made. Joining me in studio today, I have representatives from the House of the Lost Sheep of Israel. They're going to introduce themselves in a second. They are led by, this morning, Elder Michael Johnson. And I'll have him tell us who he is as well as we get the conversation started. And we're going to start right now. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
All right. Now, for the gentlemen in the room, if you're speaking, you have to speak directly into the mic. Right? And you can move the mic around, but you have to speak directly into the mic. Good stuff. So I'm going to ask you to introduce yourselves.
Yeah, my name is Elder Michael Johnson. I'm the pastor here. I also am a master Hebraist of biblical law.
A master Hebraist?
Yes.
Of biblical law. We're going to get into what that means in a moment.
Yes, my name is Elder David Martin. I'm with King James Bible University. I'm a student with King James Bible University, as well as a learner and a teacher at King James Bible University and the House of the Lost Sheep. and happy to be here.
Now, when we get into the show, you'll understand why this question pops up right now. What's the difference between a learner and a student? Language is so important.
Yes, it is. Learner and a student. A great, well, we'll say a great teacher is someone that's always going to be learning. So you can never just sit idle.
Thank you.
Because the Most High is always speaking. So.
Absolutely. Next.
Good morning. Yeah, my name is Evangelist James, and I'm also a student and teacher at King James Bible University and with the House of Lost Sheep of Israel.
All right. Thank you, Evangelist James.
Good morning. My name is Deacon Jonathan Smith from King James Bible University and also Lost Sheep of Israel. I'm also a student and also a teacher at King James Bible University and also Lost Sheep of Israel.
All right. Now, I heard accent just now. Deacon Jonathan Smith, you Bahamian?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, cool. No, cool. The other gentleman, I don't presume that you're not Bahamian. People don't know it, but Bahamas have the biggest diaspora in the world. We claim all. If you claim us, we claim you. We love it. Gentlemen, where are you from?
Yeah, so I'm actually from the United States. I'm from North Carolina.
All right. No, no. And say the state. The Bahamas and the United States has this wonderfully complex relationship that goes beyond global political descriptions like nationalism and citizenship, right? We share this beautiful historic relationship.
Yes, I'm from the United States also. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, in
All right.
the United States. But I'm also Bahamian also.
Good stuff, good stuff.
Yeah, and I'm from California,
okay.
United States. And, well, they didn't qualify me yet for that. They said I had to do a little bit more things to be qualified as a Bahamian. So
well,
I'm
listen,
still working on it.
When I was doing my research and I saw a picture of your family, Elder mm-hmm. Johnson, I said, no, man, last name Johnson. Everybody looked like Bahamians. Everybody looked like Bahamians. And that's what it means to be a part of a wide diaspora. It's a beautiful thing. Okay, so let's get right into this conversation. Mm-hmm. Elder Michael Johnson, you are a Hebrew master, Hebraist
yes.
of biblical law.
Yes.
Tell us what that means.
Yeah, basically a master still goes back to a teacher, as well as a Hebraist, it goes back to Hebrews. So once you look at that, that's a teacher of Hebrews, but most people look at Hebrews as a different title. But Hebrew don't mean nothing but he who passed over. That's what it actually means. So most people say they're Hebrews, but if they're saying they're claiming a nationality, have they really passed over? Because we have to sit there, you being guided by spirit, not by flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a difference.
All right. You also are the director. Are the director of precept comprehension and Hebrew language etymology.
Yeah.
So you look at the origin of the Hebraic language?
Yeah, the Paleo-Hebrew.
All right. So let me tell you why I find this conversation fascinating, and I'm so happy to have it today. Bahamians read the world through the lens of the Bible. It is the book, the text that we are most familiar with. Every family has a Bible, right? But more important than that, in our oral tradition, the Bible stories are the stories that we learn, Beautiful. We retain, and we continue to pass on orally.
Beautiful.
We see the world through the lens of the Bible, and in my personal speculation here, right, I realize that we may not be bad Christians. I can tell you I drive on the road with y'all this morning. Some of y'all are bad Christians. Yeah. I know that's a heavy, heavy thing to say, right?
If I can interrupt for one
yeah, minute. Yeah.
We're not Christians.
Bang. Okay, there we go. We're gonna take a step. Stick a pin right there.
Okay.
I think that we don't understand clearly and entirely what we are reading, what we are navigating, the decisions that we make, because we don't actually understand the text that frames our thinking.
Exactly.
All right. So that was going to be another question I asked. Is the House of the Lost Sheep of Israel a Christian institution?
No.
All right, well, let's get into it. Because when you say the house of the lost sheep of Israel, 7,500 Christians jump up and say, this is a conversation for me. So what does it mean when you say you're not a Christian? And then what does it mean for Christians listening to this conversation today?
Okay. Well, me personally, the easiest way to do it, you said everybody has a Bible. So if everybody has a Bible, it's easier to go from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Because Christian was actually only brought up four times in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But Christian don't mean what people think it means. In the Bible, it actually even details that. Because I can go through Bible, and I prefer to show it to you than to sit there to speak it.
Mm-hmm. But tell us, because everybody's listening,
so
what Christian, does Christian mean?
Christian actually means somebody who's mad, who's crazy. You can actually even look this definition up. You also see it in the etymology.
Okay.
But Christian, you'll never see anyone in there saying they are Christian. They said if you is being treated as a Christian, somebody who's mad, somebody who's crazy, he said, be not ashamed. That tells you that in 1 Peter chapter 4. That actually speaks on that. But what people have taken on, they learn under another doctrine. Because Christian, you got to remember, it has 45,000 plus different denominations of Christian religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one, and that can't even be refuted nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you have 45,000 different denominations of Christian religion? There's only one doctrine in the Bible. One. Mm-hmm. That's it. So what they did, they based it on something that the book was not given to. And I hate to even say it, but it wasn't given to the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
And Gentiles is stated also in Genesis chapter 10. But the thing is, that's why I said, a master of Hebrews teach Hebrews, he who were passed over. So we're looking at two different things.
All right.
So you have Christians who will worship anything because they worship a man. They worship flesh because they also believe, Christians believe Jesus is God, and that's not true. God, he stated it many times in the Bible. He's not God.
All right. Now, let's stick a pin. I know there are about 700 Bahamians right now said, who teach this man this? Let's walk through your, I won't say academic, or your training. How did you arrive at this, I won't say journey or career? When did you begin the study to become a Hebraist?
Interesting. Actually, I stumbled on it by accident. But what happened is, I'm an avid studier, always have been. Bible, I come from Baptists, everything else. But what happened is, as I got older, as I more studied, I kept running into contradictions. So I go to my pastor and ask him, and probably most of those Christians will tell you the same thing. They say, when God ready for you to see it, he's going to show it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Most people, that's the way they're going to tell you. But I still keep running into more contradictions. So what I end up doing, I end up telling my pastor I wanted to go to a seminary, which we call cemeteries. And we can get into that. We can stick a pin on that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing is, once I go there, I went to one of the top seminaries in the United States. But then I start running into contradictions again. So what they do, every time I run into a contradiction, they tell me, okay, go get this book, go get that book. Normally 400-500-600-page book. It tells me that Jesus is one thing, but then when I get to the end of the book, it's telling me how to be a better golfer, and I don't golf. Technically what was happening. So You'd say it starts off one way, but it ends another. So then I kept searching. Then I ran into King James Bible that was over in London. So I went over there to learn it technically how I was supposed to study the Bible. So I started learning the Bible according to precepts, which you'll see in Isaiah 28. Starting at verse 10. And then once I started doing that, that's when I ran into Dr. Shaul. Because Dr. Shaul, he take the top students out of there.
Okay.
So then I was one of the ones was taken out of there. And then that's where I went on my serious journey to where I can ask direct questions. And he gave me direct answers strictly from the Bible.
Because mm-hmm. here's one of the first contradictions I think of, right? Mm-hmm. We're told that the Bible tells us that you will never know, you can never prove God's existence. It's a matter of faith. You must believe.
Really?
Yeah, but at the same time, it says study to show yourself approved.
Yeah.
Right? And so for me, is there a misinterpretation of text involved when we come up with this idea that you will never know, you can never prove it is against your doctrine or your faith to try and know, to try and prove. You must be satisfied with your faith that God exists.
Really? Yeah. So how do we know? Okay, so the general Christian would say Jesus is God. Do we agree?
Yeah, the general Christian would say
that. General question. Now, it's another one in the Bible who actually claims he's God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's without an excuse. Because we can go right here to first, we go to Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. He said he was known, he was not known, but he was known only by God Almighty. He said, but by my name, Jehovah, name means a way, meaning he's a spirit. But then what ended up happening, when you get down to verse 7, he tells you in verse 7, he says, I'm going to take you to me for a people, and I'll be to you a God. So now, Jesus means, in a movement-wise, in a name, talking about a way, that means the way of salvation. Jehovah means Christ. So we have a problem. So Christians would have a problem, because I can take them there every time. Because even when the rich man asked him, he said, one of his best things, he said, "What?" He said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What did the first thing he addressed? He didn't address how to inherit eternal life. He said, wait a minute, hold up one second. Why are you calling me good? He said, there's none good but one, that is God. Mm-hmm. Why he didn't say there's none good but me? Mm-hmm. You're right, it's me, I'm right. He said, there's none good but one, that's a God. He corrected that. After he corrected that, then he told him what he must do.
Mm-hmm.
Now we also go back to the well. The woman told him, I perceive you to be a prophet. Why he didn't correct her?
Because mm-hmm.
that's what he was.
Yeah.
And he also tell you, a prophet don't even get respect in his own country.
Mm-hmm.
He tells you he's a prophet all through the Bible, as well as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So where did this Jesus become God?
I think in man's mind. In man's mind, right? So right now, mm-hmm. people are going to say, but Green, this guy is not a Christian. Why are you allowing him to interpret Christian texts for you? But I get the impression that your journey is about resolving, right? Like not damning or condemning people who identify as Christian, but help them understand the text that they use to identify themselves as Christians.
So when we look at this, got a problem.
There we go.
Okay.
No problem.
But to look at this in a better way, to look at it in a better way. Why is Christian? Okay. Have you ever heard the term Jew? Which I know you probably have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Jew will sit there and tell you about some Jewish people. ISH. We got to look at what that is. ISH is a characteristic of something.
Mm-hmm.
A Jew, it don't mean nothing but a follower of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it means. So when you look at Christian, Christian is stated four times in the Bible. One time it's stated as Cretans, which talking about something completely different.
Because it's people from Crete, right?
No, Cretans, it tells you, if you want me to run to the text, I'll run to the text.
No, I'm not okay. Doubting you. I can run to the text.
Yeah. But it tells you that they're slow bellies and everything else.
All right.
So people have this misinterpretation where they've been taught something that's not true.
So let's talk about the King James Bible.
Beautiful. Right?
This is the text that your faith, your work, your doctrine rests in.
Yes.
Why the King James Version?
Because the King James Bible was the only one that was translated originally, was over 450 years ago. That's one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, two, the King James Bible cannot be translated in any other kind of way. So you'll see it was copyrighted by King James himself, which they also tell you King James was a white man, which is not true. He was a black man.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest problem is with the King James Bible, you'll see other texts always change every 5 years. Every 5 years. So when you get to King James, what they'll tell you is, they'll say, well, this is a bad text because they don't understand the spiritual comparing the spiritual. So how can the King James 1 also be false and it never changed, but everybody based their Bibles off the King James Bible? So that's problem. That's problem number one. We can also go into the Apocrypha where you see where it gets into Sirach. Sirach also tells you this is where Master Hebraic start coming in, because they'll tell you Hebrew is a spoken language. That's not true. It's a written language.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, you'll see all the time, he spoke Aramaic. He never spoke no Hebrew. But it tells you, I can even show you where he speaks Aramaic every time.
Mm-hmm.
When he's sitting there saying, Eli, Eli, Sabathani, he's talking about Aramaic. He's speaking that in Aramaic, not in Hebrew. Hebrew is a written language, not a spoken language.
Is it a dead language? Is it the language today?
Aramaic is spoken today.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
So this is the problem when people say the King James Bible, because same thing, like we had the conversation where they were talking about they used the African Bible, this and that. But it's a problem even with those texts. The reason we have a problem with those texts is we can go into the African Bible and we can go to the Book of Enoch, which is not a real book. But then the reason why I can pull that based on my studies, based on my profession, I can show you that's not true, because you can see in the Book of Enoch, even in chapter 7, I believe it's also in chapter 6, it speaks of pregnant. We want to hold to that word pregnant. Pregnant first showed up in Scripture, never. That's one. But then two, pregnant never showed up, even in writings, into 1402. So now, if Enoch existed before even Abraham and everybody else, where do pregnant come from?
Mm-hmm.
Because pregnant, when we're looking at pregnant, the word pregnant, all through the Bible, they go from pregnant, from Enoch, and then they go back to she conceived. You see this with child, all through the Bible. So where do pregnant come from? Pregnant come from the 14th century.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started being prevalently more used later.
And then, so that's one of the conclusions that you've drawn to indicate that Enoch, the Book of Enoch, is not an original text. Well, that it must have been constructed in the 1400s or post-1400s, because that's when we see the first use of the word pregnant.
Yeah.
And in the old text, they would not use the word pregnant. They would use the phrase, she conceived.
She conceived or she was with child.
Right.
Same thing with the Book of Jasher. The Book of Jasher don't mean nothing but the Book of the Upright. That's all it means. So they can construct books based on what people see. Because I can show you contradictions through there time and time and time and time again. So this is why I say when we have a conversation with people, where people want to have conversations, I don't like to have just straight conversations. I like to, we're going to let the book show you who's who.
Right. And I think that's a great, I don't want to say mechanism, but method, because this is the book that you read. We're going to go to the text that you endorse.
Mm-hmm. But also, we have to look at two things. A Master of Breath, which I hope you looked it up.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and with that, what I professionally do, I've tried everything to find contradictions. I still search for contradictions in the King James Bible. Can't find them. But I can tell you which ones I can find them in. That's in every other book. The NIV teaches you about Satan, because they ask you who they actually worship, Satan. And then they also remove the text.
Which text? So what is the text that they removed?
Yeah, they removed the one, even with Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
And saying they're talking about the morning star. You'll see they're claiming Jesus is the morning star back in Revelations.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll switch them out. But then they also remove texts.
So here's another question.
Yes.
Do you think these people are aware of the misinterpretations, or is this... Because I see a lot of good-minded and good-hearted people perpetuating misinterpretations as opposed to a concerted effort to thwart the truth, to hide the truth from people.
But do it make them right?
Right. No, whether it's intentional or unintentional, it may have detrimental impact.
Okay. Isaiah 28, verse 10, it tells you, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Now we can go right over to Psalms chapter 104, 119:4, it tells you we are commanded to keep thy precepts diligently. Then when we drop down to 104, it says, and through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. That's your key.
So let's talk about precepts.
Yeah, please.
What is a precept?
Precepts is laws of everything coming from God.
All right. Now, how can I identify what is a precept versus what is an instruction constructed by man and then imported into the text?
Okay, one great one is when we're men, you're talking about men, because the entire Bible was written by the inspiration of God. So that's one. That's his book. I'm only validating the King James Bible. I don't validate any other books. Okay. I do find contradictions in other ones. Now, what we're doing is, how are you going to validate that? Let's go to Leviticus chapter 11. Now, the question becomes, do everybody eat pork? And man will tell you that God cleaned pork in the New Testament. Correct or not correct? Because they say when the sheep came down, and then all of a sudden, he said it's clean. Mm-hmm. That's not true. Because we know in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6, it says God changes not. We also know in Psalms 89:34, it says, my word, he will not change ever. These things do not change. But then also in the New Testament, we know Jesus Christ. We're looking at function, not words. That's what you see on paper. We're looking at function. Jesus Christ, meaning salvation of Jehovah, because that's Christ. Salvation of Jehovah, same yesterday, the same today, the same forever. So now when we get to this, if pork is clean, let's look at pork is supposed to be clean. How did it become clean? And he was only using that as a similitude to which we can understand what's clean and what's not clean.
Okay.
So when we look at, and then the only way he can see that through God, he has to show you physical things.
So if you don't find any contradictions in the King James by King James Version.
No.
What does the King James Version say in this example? Leviticus, pork is bad. The New Testament comes.
Beautiful.
Christ changes everything.
Beautiful.
And now pork is good. But what does the King James Version actually say?
No. Okay. The King James, in the Old Testament, he tell you that the swine, even though he divided the hoof, he chose not to cut. Chewing not to cut mean he don't consider at all the prophecies. He don't consider the he don't consider you know the prophecies of what's going on in the Bible at all.
Mm-hmm.
But then on top of that, now we're gonna look at the New Testament. In the New Testament, what it says when we look at in Acts, this is clear in Acts. Where it says every when the sheep descended, now it says of all these beasts. And then it showed it to Peter three times. We want to make sure we understand that part. And then he said, what God has cleansed, called not their uncommon. Now here's the catch. In Acts chapter 10, verse 17, it said Peter had to think on these things, what the vision he has seen should mean. Then when you get down to verse 28, he said that God has showed me that I should not call any man. He's not talking about those animals. Because we know in Romans 1:20, it says, for the invisible things of him, because God is a spirit, is clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made.
All right, so some of these stories, or like the pig is an analogy, right? It's a experience.
Yeah, he's using that pig to show you what he's talking about spiritually. So he can show you the pig and you can see the pig is unclean. He's saying, this is unclean to you.
Mm-hmm.
So then it tells you even in Galatians chapter 3, where it's telling you that we was cut under the law. We have to keep looking at physical things to where it can bring us unto Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was doing. So once we can understand that, then we no longer under the law of God. Now we're under the spirit. That's the catch. Following?
No, I'm not. But so right here, tell me, what's the difference between being under the law and under the spirit?
Okay, under the law, you have to see the physical things.
Okay.
So say like you see the pig, and they saying, okay, why we can't eat pig? Now I can show you why this pig is unclean.
Yeah.
See, it do this, it do that, it'll eat anything.
But
you don't
under
have
the spirit, you understand that is a lesson for your personal life. It's a lesson to understand human experience and how you're supposed to interact with the world and with spirit.
Yeah, so now spiritually, if you know physically that pig is unclean, physically, Mm-hmm. Now, do you continue to eat the pig now you know it's unclean?
No.
Exactly the point. That's all he was showing you. So that shows you that in Galatians 3:25, it says, once you become knowledge of that, you're no longer under the law.
All right. Producer, take us to a break. When we get back from the break, I got an important question to ask you. Mm-hmm. Is there only one correct way to interpret Scripture in the Bible?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to a break. You're on the clock with Aaron Green. When we get back to the break, we're going to get into that question. Mm-hmm. The conversation is going to extend, I think, into the next hour, because I also have some more questions for you. It is holiday time, and I want to ask, how does your community, your religious community, how do you holiday?
Oh, I love you.
All right. So we go into a break, you guys. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Oh, I love you.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else, all to redefine what's possible for everyone, everywhere, for every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
This holiday season, give yourself the gift of a fresh start with a personal loan at Fidelity. You could win refreshing prizes like a luxurious spa day, John Bolt gift certificates, a cruise for two, and more. Make that move to a fresh start today. Call 356-7764. Promotion ends December 19th.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
One in every four Bahamians face some level of food insecurity. AML Foods remains committed to helping. And this year, through our Feed 5000 program, we'll donate $50,000 to provide holiday meals for families in need. But we need your help. From November 3rd to December 17th, show your support and donate at the register at Solomon's, Cost Right, Fresh Markets, Eleuthera Markets, Exuma Markets, or Domino's Pizza in New Providence, Grand Bahama, or Exuma. Together, let's put an end to hunger.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
The journey of life takes us down some treacherous paths. If we are to survive the careless debris, speed bumps, potholes, and puddles, we must maintain everlasting faith in God. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God. To be delivered from life's trials and tribulations, toils and snares, we should endeavor to rely on God's amazing grace.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Joining me in studio today, we have members of the House of the Lost Sheep of Israel and representatives from the King James Bible University. We're having a conversation today about understanding the Bible. I see this conversation as adding tools to my toolkit as a person of faith, so I could better understand my faith. Even if, and we had a pivotal moment in the conversation where Elder Michael Johnson said, hey, let's stick a pin, we are actually not Christians. But I want to say to Christians, I think that this is a wonderful conversation for the Christian community to tune into, to have, to build your skills to better understand the text that is at the center of your faith. We're going to take a moment to talk about how to interpret the Bible. I met a young man years ago from, he's from Exuma. It was in the pandemic, and so many people made so many connections they wouldn't have otherwise made. This young man said, so he wasn't necessarily talking to me. I was just following him on Facebook, and he said, you know, you guys don't understand this text that you're reading or how to interpret it. He said, these names, these people, they are actually like places and they're not people, right? And that these, and that the maybe the regions, like the things, like the mount is a person, but that name of the person is not actually a person. And but he makes the point that you have to understand how to interpret the Bible to understand its value. So, first question, are there multiple ways to interpret the Bible?
No. It's one way. It's according to precepts in Isaiah 28:10.
28:10.
28 verse 10. But then, even with that gentleman that spoke to you, mm-hmm. he was wrong.
Okay.
Because the name, you don't know, those names mean places. Those names mean the way. So, it's telling you the same thing with Abraham. Abraham means the father of many nations. So, but was he a person? Yes. But the only thing that they tried to conceal is what they're doing with Israel. Israel is a people. It's not a land. That's why they changed the name in May 14th, 1948. They changed it from Israel. They changed it from Jerusalem to Israel. But it tells you about it in Psalms 83. Because Israel, they can look at it all kind of ways they want to. I don't care how they flip it, how they trip it out. But when you look at this, and as Jesus said, same thing. He only came to the house of the lost sheep of Israel. That's all he came to. It tells you that. So if it clears there, if it's clear there, then you can anyone tell me in May 1948, one people who was mixed with Polak in Germany come from one location, and the Bible tells you that his people is scattered all over the world. And they coming from one location. Because they say they speak Hebrew, which is a mixture of Polak and German, Yiddish. Now, if you tell them up front it's Yiddish, I promise you they're going to walk away from you. But they came from one location. So the same thing is, as with you, you are scattered out. Black people is scattered out. And what people really dislike is Africans and Hebrews. Are Africans and Israelites. The biggest issue is with that is because Africans still remain there, but Africans was the one sold you into slavery. It wasn't a white man coming over there to get you. You were sold into slavery by them because they can pick us out. I can tell you right now, even with you, you look like 100% a relative of mine. Mm-hmm. Now, I can promise you one thing. I can put an African right next to you, and I guarantee you anybody can pick out that African and you. Like clockwork every time. Mm-hmm. Nothing against them, but they can still become part of this heritage.
So who are the lost sheep of the house of Israel?
Everybody who's scattered, every black person you see. I'm very upfront. I speak very upfront even online, and we have a lot of white people that follow us. But those are the black people that will scatter, and we'll never rise to the top, because I tell you right now, the same thing, we already see it right here in the Bahamas. All you got to do is go to the lower parts of everywhere, anywhere in the country. Anywhere. You go to the lower parts, what you going to find there? You're going to find us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think a white man is that smart, that intelligent to do that everywhere? In America, you can go anywhere. When you want to go to the slums, you're going to find us. You go to Hawaii, you're going to go to the slums, you're going to find us. You go anywhere in the world, you're going to find us. So how is it possible that a one man can masterfully do this? Only one can do that. That's God. But he said, we will be the tail, they'll be the head.
Now, people are going to say, where you find this in the Bible? How do you identify?
Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Somebody read it?
Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah. Deuteronomy chapter
28, where they'll be the head, we'll be the tail. Please do.
All right. I just want to bring it back to Scripture.
Please.
Because I'll say I'm not as familiar with Scripture as many people who are listening. I know there are people listening right now. They're like, Green, you're supposed to respond with this or with that.
I would even love to talk to them.
Well, we're going to open up the line in the next hour.
Okay, please.
And I think in the next hour, we're going to sort of focus on how do you celebrate this time? And then we're going to open up the phone lines to the listeners and the callers.
Did I remind you I love you?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Blessings onto you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, okay.
You ready? Yeah. Right to the mic.
All right, so this is Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to start at verse 43, and it says, "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shall come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail."
Wait a minute, and read verse 15 for the reason why.
This is verse 15. "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee."
Because we have not been following the precepts set out for us, this is the result, that we have become the tail and they have become the head. Is there a way out of that for us collectively? And is that identified in, of course, I'm going to say, is that identified in the King James Bible? But of course, we know that you speak from the King James Bible. All right.
So the thing is, for us to free ourselves, we would never go back into our land, which is Jerusalem. Israel is a people. Actually, can you go to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 55? But it's a people. But we'll never go back there in flesh, ever, because he's always speaking spirit. We got to remember we're dealing with God. We're dealing with a spirit. But can you just read that? Because he's going to show you what Israel is.
Right to the mic.
Leviticus chapter 25, verse 55. "For unto me, the children of Israel are servants. They are my servants, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God."
In Egypt, when you want to look at the function of it, Egypt don't mean nothing but the house of bondage. But we capture it in the mind. So we got to renew our mind. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing he's speaking of. So you have a lot of people, and I think Elder had something.
Yeah, say something also, as far as you say.
Right to the mic.
Okay. Yeah, you were saying if it was another way out of it, I was going to go to 1 Kings, because when you're thinking precept upon precept, there's always instructions within every book to help us out. So when I'll go to 1 Kings 8, right? And then we'll go to verse 47 and 48. And this would basically be the result of how we can get back from that bondage. It say, "Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives," which we were, "and repent and make supplications unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy way or for thy name.
And can you tell them what repent
means? Repent means to remember. So we supposed to, when you see repent in scripture, that means remember. That means we supposed to remember of what we supposed to be doing. That's repenting.
And through that path, we will still only get back in spirit, right?
Yeah, that's the only thing he's going to raise up. First Corinthians 15:50. I can have one of them read that also. Because First Corinthians 15:50 tells you exactly what's going to happen with flesh.
All right.
1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither do if corruption inherit incorruption.
So that even moves to Jesus. If Jesus is God and he was in flesh, he actually contradicted himself, because once he came here, he couldn't leave because he was flesh. Mm-hmm. So people will sit there and say that this prophet was God. God the Father, actually, can you read Revelation chapter 1, 6? We're going to let them think on that, because I know she's going to want to love to pin it, and we can take care of that later. Revelation 1 and 6.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
So God has a Father. Neither one of them is speaking of Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4, it tells you a riddle. A riddle going to come from this. And this is what it says.
Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Who have ascended up into heaven or descended? Who have gathered the wind in his fist? Who have bound the waters in a garment? Who have established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? Mm. And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell.
Just a second. I tell my grammy, my mummy say I could do it. And that's the exact same scripture my grammy read to me. I feel the power of it now.
Yeah.
Thank you for that text.
But we can answer. But neither one is speaking of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Neither one of them. So God has a Father. That's an issue.
Listen, as you know, the people out there saying, what? Where do we identify that Father? Or do the precepts tell us that that is not for us to know, but for us to believe?
Well, just like I said, if we read Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, you're going to see, we're going to speak of Jehovah. Mm-hmm. That's who is actually God. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove the point to you twice. And he says this in Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. And you'll see this is what Abraham was calling him, because it was a spirit and he didn't show himself under that name.
Exodus chapter 6, verse 3. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty.
By the way, that's all it means. Go ahead.
But by my name, by my way, Jehovah, was I not known to them.
Drop down to verse 7.
Verse 7, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God.
Now, I'll show you that this happened, and you're going to see Jehovah again. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2.
Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid.
That's the Father. Watch this.
For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation.
Become my salvation. Because again, the King James Bible, they'll see in there. It don't have no quotations in there. But then we can see, you'll see sometime a capital L, Lord, just capital L, then lowercase O-R-D. Sometimes you'll see all cap, Lord. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll see no cap and just all lowercase. Those all have meanings.
Yes, yes.
So the cap, when you're not looking at a quotation, the capitalized L with the O-R-D, that's telling you that's the Father. That's referencing the Father. When you see all capped out right there, that's talking about the Spirit of God. That's Jehovah. That's why you see it all through Scripture. But now what you see a lot of people do, and no disrespect, please believe me, I don't look at doing no disrespect towards you. Now, have they ever took the time ever took the time to show you what a colon, a semicolon, and a comma actually mean?
Not in a long time. And I don't think what they actually mean. We learn it in school, but I don't know if we learn the meaning you're going to tell us.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you the same thing. In our schools in America, they don't teach you, because you even see them make the mistakes in colleges. Mm-hmm. A colon means it's going to clarify everything that is said. Mm-hmm. A semicolon is a full thought up until that statement. A comma means it's going to clarify more on what it was talking about. So what some people do is read past those and not understanding it was a full thought, it was going to clarify everything behind it, or they're just going to clarify as they continue to go.
Even the punctuation is important.
Yes.
Gentlemen, we are at the end of this hour. In the next hour, we're going to continue this conversation. Mm-hmm. At one point, we're going to open up the lines. Callers, I see you there, caller. I apologize. We wanted to begin the conversation before we opened it up to the audience. On the other side of the break, of course, once again, I tell you, I want to explore how you holiday, but also, we have this thing here where we talk about the Joshua generation. We are so, it's become a I don't have the correct grammatical word, but it has become an analogy, and I think that we have interpreted it incorrectly, or because of that, our place in the analogy. So I want to talk about that, and then I want to talk about moving from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and if we, in our common interpretation of the Bible, are doing the right things.
Okay.
And then we're going to talk about a whole lot more. You guys, stay tuned. We're moving from On the Clock with Aaron Green. Up next is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. We'll be right back.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.